Now, as you'll be well aware, we are more than open. I've always said it with the great Neil Martin. We're always happy to have a chat. We chat about anything at all. It might be music, it might be a festival, it might be new music, whatever it happened to be. But we'll always have room for a chat with Neil. Neil, good morning, my friend. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Marty, and thank you very much for that.
Not at all. A great pleasure to hear your voice. Am I speaking to you from the... are you confined in the splendour to which you become accustomed in Belfast at home?
I am. I'm sat at the piano where I spend most of my time, to be quite honest.
For sure. Well, listen, first things first, how have you been since we spoke last? How are things in your household?
Yeah, well, things are good at home. We all managed to avoid the virus, and we had all the kids here. When I say kids, they're from 18 up to 28, but they were all living here from March until July, and then they've started to peel off and go to various parts. But it's been good, and Marty, I've been very busy. I've written a violin concerto since we last talked, and some choral work and some chamber music, and I'm working on some music for the NSO as we speak right now for a concert in the NCH in a couple of weeks' time. So, you know, just trying to keep busy.
But that is the only way. I've been coming in, as I think I told you before, I've been coming in and out here all the time. And it is about trying to do what you do from whatever position you find yourself. I love the way you talk about the kids, and we talk about the children at home.
Yes.
And ours are of a similar age to yours. They're in their 20s. It's amazing the way we do it. But you were saying, again, the last time we talked, and it's important, you all get on, you all have a bit of space in the house, and it works on that basis. We're very lucky fellas.
We are, and we all know within ourselves it won't last forever like this, you know, because life moves on and people move on and our children get their own places and have their own lives. So I've kind of really enjoyed having that special time, and we had a lot of laughs and a lot of nonsense and the right few gin and tonics over 5 or 6 months.
Well, now listen, you're involved in something else, not just, we mentioned the choral, the NSO, but you're also involved in the Folk Park Live. Is this your baby?
Well, not my baby, but I was involved in it from the start.
Yeah.
It came about through the collaboration of Tourism NI and the Arts Council up here in Belfast.
Right.
And they were looking to... They have a kind of scheme called Embrace the Place, promote this part of the island. So I was working with a company called Snowwater, who are a terrific arts enabler, if you like, headed up by a woman called Carolyn Mathers. And we were kind of batting ideas around how we might apply to the Arts Council to do something to promote here. And we boiled up the idea to tell the story of emigration from the north here, from Ulster, to North America, to Canada and to the States, and that we would tell it through music and song. So basically, it's a journey, Marty, of 300 years from the early 1600s up to the early 20th century of the emigration of millions of people, and all through songs about, it covers the full gamut, the human emotion, songs of emigration, songs of longing, songs of love, songs of celebration, some dance tunes, songs about the promised land, about Canada and so on, and about America. So it was a fascinating project to work on, to be able to trawl that huge, vast collection of material, and then to marry songs with specific singers and wonderful artists.
So presumably, and the stories, you know, the whole island, our history of emigration, but the whole island is rich. There's a rich vein of stories there, and great sadness too, as well as happiness and finding a new world and a new life. The folk park up there, it's fantastic, the Ulster American Folk Park.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful place. And that's where we filmed everything.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, having been there, Marty, it has, part of it is Ireland, and part of it is the new land.
That's right.
So that we had six locations in each part of the park. And, you know, there definitely is a difference when you're sitting in what was somebody's home that might be 200 or 300 years old, singing a song or playing a piece of music. that makes a big difference to the emotion of the performance.
Yes.
So I think we caught something very magical in that being filmed in each of those locations. It just brought another dimension to the music that was almost indescribable, but very, very beautiful.
That's wonderful. Well, now, one of the pieces that we want to mention is your own piece, obviously, Hugo Marfane on Sarah Lynn, that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And were you alone? Was there somebody with you? How did you record that one?
Just myself on pipes in a very old house with a little fire, a very warm fire. It was starting to annoy the pipes, but a very warm fire. Very dark, obviously no lighting. We had a great crew, very, very solid crew, but I just recorded that on my own because it's a very ancient air and, you know, it's a song or a tune of celebration of the summer season coming in. So we were just trying to find different emotions through music, older music, to draw out various aspects of the experience.
And to give a feeling of the time. Now, is that the little cottage? Is that the whitewashed cottage?
Yes, exactly.
It's
it
gorgeous.
Is. Gorgeous. Ancient little whitewashed cottage. It is indeed.
Yeah, I should explain that if you get a chance to go to the Ulster, in Tanoma, the folk park in Tyrone, if you go, they have, in normal times, reenactments, don't they, of various things that would have gone on at the time.
They do, and those still exist, but I love the modernity, if you like, of this project, because through mobile phones, people can now, with a QR code, scan a QR code and get the video specific to each location right round the OMA Folk, Ulster American Folk Park. I mean, for me, who grew up when there were no, started my life when there were no computers and certainly no mobile phones, I find this technological advancement just absolutely fascinating.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
That the QR code can pull up the performer and you can watch this video on your phone and get background information about the song. I think it's wonderful.
Speaking of wonderful, here it is. This is Hugo Marfane and Sarah Lynn. This is Neil Martin. I'm chatting with Neil Martin, and that was him, clearly. And we are talking about the Ulster American Folk Park in Tyrone. It's a folk park live. Now, the other thing I want to mention is you also do a piece with Mary Dillon. Tell us a bit about that one, Neil.
Oh, the terrific Mary Dillon, one of my favourite singers, Mary Dillon. Sorry, I just hit a key on the piano.
You did. And that proves to everyone how live we are. So that's not a problem in the world.
Totally live. The song that Mary and I did together was The Green Fields of Canada. And it's a very sore, poignant song of emigration where the singer laments, in this case Mary, she laments the difficulties of home and the yearning for the greener fields, you know. But of course, once we cross over that hill to the other side, maybe it's just not maybe it's just not as rosy as we thought it would have been.
Yes, yeah, and that's the essence of what you're singing about here. She's yes. She's a Derry girl, isn't she not?
She's from Dungiven in County Derry.
There you
that's
go.
Right.
You think I know nothing?
And a beautiful singer. I first started working with Mary in the mid 90s. She sang with a band called Janta, and I produced their last two albums. And from the first strains of Mary Dillon's voice, you know, Marty, you're dealing with something very, very special. Wonderful communicator, wonderful sense of earthy singing, honest singing, and just great beauty and musicality about her. Great, great artist.
And just to also make the point, it's obviously in the blood and the genes, because Cara Dillon is her sister.
Exactly that. Very musical family. Yeah.
Very musical family.
Her and Cara.
Now, the other thing I must talk to you about, and this is very important from the point of view of what you're involved there particularly, and that's investment in arts and culture. That's very important, obviously, for its future well-being.
Well, I don't think, you know, we have seen stranger times than we're living through now, and it is absolutely about that. It's about our well-being and the centrality of arts to the human spirit and the anima of us all. If that all goes, Marty, if all of this is diminished, we're going to end up like automatons. We're going to end up a robotic race of people, insentient, uncaring. What the arts do is they open up that huge vista that allows us to interpret our world in different ways, to feel differently, to express ourselves in another way. Never have arts been more important than they are now. So.
And for some people, it's exactly how they express how they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I haven't been on a stage, Marty, since March.
Yeah.
And I've been climbing up onto stages for over half a century now. And it has never been this long. And I miss it way more than I ever thought I would, because I never believed that this day would come. And I kind of feel choked because
yes.
I can't use that mode of expression that I've been using all my professional life and since my childhood. And I just think it's an awful deprivation of part of our whole way of going. Anybody who's a performing artist, actors, musicians, opera, but also all the technical people who work behind scenes as well, it's our way of going forever.
That's right.
And it's stopped now. And nobody's too sure how or when it's going to come back.
Well, that's
what
the
way
problem.
It's going to return.
And as has been said from the beginning, this end of things is going to be the last when people can get on a stage and have a crowd in front of them and have that link between the audience and the artist. And that's going to be the last one, because
it is. And I know we talked about technology and so on earlier, and it's terrific. And there are ways, perhaps. We have to investigate other ways of blended performance. Part maybe streamed and part live with reduced numbers. I don't know how we go about these things. But I do know this, Marty. An audience plays an absolutely central part to any live performance. And when the performer feels an audience, when one is on a stage you see the whites of somebody's eyes, or you get that vibe, that feeling, that emotion coming back up to the stage, that's what makes that live performance utterly exceptional and irreplaceable. So no matter what technology we have, we can't lose sight of the centrality and the absolute importance of that human feeling.
That's for sure. Mary Dillon now, Neil Martin's The Green Fields of Canada.
So pack up your sea stores, consider no longer, for $10 a week isn't very bad pay. With no taxes or tithes to devour up your wages, when you're on the green fields of of shillelagh and shamrock, hearts be as merry as ever I could wish for. When it's far away across the ocean I'm bound, well, me father to leave their own country, it grieves their hearts sore, and the tears down their cheeks in great drops are rolling. To think they must die upon a foreign shore. Run unsheared, and the lands run to rushes. The handyman's gone, and the winder of creeds. Away across the ocean, fiddlers that flaked out the Isle Mountain Rees. But I mind the day when all Ireland was flourishing, and when lots of her tradesmen did work for good. Factories have crossed the Atlantic. Sure, it's there we must follow to America. And it's now to conclude and to finish my story. If ever friendless Irishman chances my way, with the best in the house I will greet him in welcome. Far away on the green fields of America.
There she is, Mary Dillon, with my guest this morning, Neil Martin, in the green fields of Canada. Last time we were chatting, you had recorded a very different version of a very well-known piece of music.
Had I? What was that, Marty?
Do you remember the last piece of music you sent us? You sent a little MP3 into us that you had.
Oh, Gabriel Zobo, was it?
Gabriel Zobo. We got such a reaction to it. It was a beautiful version. Different.
Well, thank you very much. I've always loved that piece of music.
Yeah.
It's so beautifully crafted, Marty, and the late Morricone was a genius at all sorts of approaches to film music, but not just music for film. Obviously, I mean, this was from The Mission, but it existed beautifully as a piece of music. Very, very poignant piece of music by itself.
We have always found with Ennio Morricone that the music itself still can be played in its own sense. In other words, not just, as you say, to do with the films, but he wrote some beautiful music that never saw the light of day in a film. So, but he was quite something.
He was something. And I think he scored 500 films,
that's right.
Music for 500 films. What an extraordinary output. He wasn't lazy.
No, he was certainly was not. And in his 90s when he passed, God bless him. Listen, you mentioned, I'm talking about the work that you're doing at the moment, you mentioned the choral work and the National Symphony Orchestra in the NCH in 2 weeks. What's that going to be? Can I ask?
Well, it's a concert that no audience can be at.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be filmed for some sort of streaming further down and recorded for radio broadcast as well. But because of restrictions, I think the greatest number of musicians we can get from the symphony orchestra onto the stage is 34.
Okay.
Which is less than half of natural forces. So we're limited in what we can do. The evening is really Irish music, and there's a beautiful suite that Micheál O'Sullivan wrote called Ilan, and that's going to be performed. He originally wrote that for flute and strings, and Matt Molloy made the original recording of that. But Mark Redmond is going to play it on whistle. And there are a few other bits as well, and then three pieces that I have arranged. The Fairy Queen, a very ancient piece that will be for pipes and orchestra. And then I've done an arrangement of Danny Boy for strings and horns. And to finish off, an arrangement of a jig for pipes and orchestra again, The Humours of Ballylochlan.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. And that's in 2 weeks' time.
I think it's the 25th of September is the performance date.
Yeah, good Lord. That'll
but because of all of these restrictions, in the NCH, the total number of people allowed in the building is 50. That includes all the technical crew, front of house staff, security, and performers. So, I mean, it's kind of mad as well.
Oh, it is. And thank God. But thank God that there is that venue and that things are happening there. The other venues are silent, which is so sad to see.
It sure is. And I'm involved. I'm on the board of Music Network, and we had some performances last month. Five performances in different venues in Ireland, and the theatres are working on a capacity of 10% to 15%.
Oh, it's just crazy.
It's heartbreaking.
It
was one of the venues, I think, that the total number of people, because of the seating configuration, the total number of people we could have in at the concert was 14. So
that's just not manageable at all. And it was interesting. We played a piece of music there yesterday, and it was live. And to hear, I'd forgotten about the sound of an audience and how wonderful it is at the end of a piece that people appreciate. Yeah. It just makes such a difference. Well, listen, we're going to give Ennio Morricone give his piece of music another play. The least we can do now that we have you on. But listen, I'm so looking forward to the National Concert Hall. That sounds wonderful, and the Fairy Queen and everything in the jig. It sounds wonderful, and Neil. But in the meantime, just to remind people again, Folk Park Live is there, the Ulster American Folk Park, and Tyrone Arts. By the way, we should just mention Jack Warnock, Amanda Bradley, Maurice Layden, Gareth Dunlop, Elida Patterson,
Niall Hanna, Oil Paintings, and Cahill Hayden.
Right, No Oil Paintings. That doesn't refer to anybody in particular. But
the whole thing can be experienced online at www.folkparklive.com.
That's how you get it. You're a gentleman. Yeah. I love chatting with you, Neil. And please God, in time, you'll be in front of us here again.
I hope so. Marty, it's always a pleasure and a treat. Thank you so much.
God bless you, my friend. Take care.
See you now.
Take care.
will we live, work and do business in a post-COVID world? Let the world's leading thinkers, entrepreneurs, innovators and artists guide you as Future Human, Ireland's major international tech event, goes hybrid. Join us online this October 29th and 30th and bring our event stage to the comfort of your own home or workplace. Book your tickets now at futurehuman.xyz. Brought to you by Silicon Republic in partnership with RTE. futurehuman.xyz. Come make tomorrow.
Sometimes you might forget, but every one of us is still at risk from COVID-19. But every time we do the right thing, we're protecting ourselves and the people around us.